23. While you turn, let me say we're going to be baptizing Ruby tonight. And we're glad to see her come get saved right before we left. And we're thankful for that. I talked Brother Kenny Calloway into coming tonight. He's over at Tateful today, singing at a homecoming. And he said his wife was sick and he wouldn't be able to do it. But I always enjoy having Brother Kenny come by when he can. I always love to listen to him sing. Two or three songs he sings are some of my favorite songs that he's written. And I love to hear him sing them each time. Luke chapter 23. Let me put you into a little quiz. How many sayings did Jesus have while hanging on the cross? Anybody know? How many times did he speak from the cross? Anybody know? How many times did Jesus speak from the cross? Different sayings that he had while he's hanging on the cross. No, a little more than that. A little more than that. A little more than that. Seven. Seven is the number of completion. And of course, God does things and he has purposes. But three of the things that he spoke, we're going to cover today. And the other four, we'll see if you can remember what else he said as we go through this. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse number 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanging, railed on him, saying, Thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, the veil of the temple was rent in the mist. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this man was a righteous man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us today. Give us something, dear Heavenly Father, that we can take, apply to our lives. And Lord, help us to be able to, those of us who are saved, help us to be exhorted from it, encouraged, and see something that would be a help to us. Those who are not saved, may they see Jesus, high and lifted up for their own sins. And Lord, may they see him for why he came to that cross of Calvary. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Does anybody remember any other things that he said other than these three? What was the other four he said? What? It is finished. That's one. I thirst. What's the other one? Yeah. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he said one more thing to his mother. He said, Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. And in other words, he had instilled in John to take care of his mother. And so those were the seven sayings with these three here from the cross of Calvary. You know, Brother Junior was talking about the tragedy that happened in Las Vegas. And I heard someone saying this morning on the news, where should we have our eyes? Which place should we be looking? Should we be looking to Iran, who is building nuclear weapons? Should we be looking to North Korea, who is trying to build nuclear weapons and all those things? Should we be looking to places like Las Vegas? But to be honest with you, there is one place we need to look, and that's Calvary. If a man will look at Calvary, he don't have to worry about looking at any other place. He can see Calvary for what it was. Now here we see Jesus coming to the cross of Calvary. He didn't come there because he was a criminal. He came there because he was coming to die for our sins. Now look, if you would, back, and let's notice there was two particular people here that is brought out in this reading. One is the thief upon the cross, and here he was brought to salvation by watching Jesus. Now, as the Bible tells us, there was two of them, one on his right hand, one on his left. One of them continued to curse and mock Jesus, say, "You saved others, save ourselves." Jesus was well known. Things that he had done, healing the sick, the blind. There was a time when he couldn't go anywhere without the multitudes surrounding him, wanting him to see a miracle or wanting him to cast out a demon or heal their loved one or do something for them. And so Jesus was well known. But the two thieves here was hanging, and one of them continued to mock him. But the other one, who had been mocking him earlier, all of a sudden recognized, as he heard the other one mocking, he said, "He has done nothing. We are justly paying for our sins, our deeds. But this man has done nothing." And he looked at Jesus and he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." Now, there's been a lot. I noticed as we passed one of the churches there on the stretch during this week, it was a Church of Christ. They had on their sign, "Baptism is essential." Of course, they teach that without baptism, you can't be saved. Well, the thief was saved without baptism. They said, "Well, that was before the church." Well, that's maybe the way they look at it, but the truth of the matter is, baptism is a testimony. It's a testimony of the fact that you have been saved. You've been born again. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Somebody said it this way, and I agree. Water can never wash away what the blood has not already washed away. When the blood washes it away, the Bible says we have remission of sins because of the shedding of blood, not because of the cleansing of the water. The water was a testimony that, and tonight when Ruby gets baptized, it will not be part of her salvation. It will be because of her salvation. And so here, the thief, looking upon Jesus, said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." In other words, down in Abraham's bosom. When Jesus would leave after 3 days and three nights, hell would never be the same. Isaiah said in chapter 5 that hell would enlarge yourself. Abraham's bosom came out. No longer is it there. If you read in chapter 27, all those Old Testament saints that were saved in Abraham's bosom, they come out of the graves. They went up into heaven. Now, to die and be saved, you don't go down to hardy earth as Jesus went. You go up into heaven where Jesus is now. The only those who goes down, we got on an elevator with a couple of ladies, and they said, we were going down, but we came up first. And I looked at them, I said, "A lot better go up than it is down." And I said, "I don't believe I want to go down. I believe I always want to go up." And one of them said, "Yeah, I agree with you." You know, now when we die, if you go down, it's because you're not saved. And hell will be your destiny. But this man, this thief, this malefactor, was saved that day upon the cross of Calvary. But there was another man standing there. And that's the one I want to look at this morning, the centurion. The centurion was one that was over Roman soldiers. Now, we talked about the other day, we talked about the band that had came to Jesus and to arrest him in the garden. And how that when he spoke, they all fell backwards. And sometimes you see pictures depicting of the band coming against Jesus, and there'll be 10 or 12 soldiers behind Judas. But a band was anywhere from 200 to 600 people. So when they fell back, 200 or 600 people fell back. Now, I don't know if this centurion was there, but chances are he was there. Now, he was a Roman centurion. It's important to understand the Romans, they used religion only for their advantage. The Romans liked to use religion only to be able to keep people under control. The Romans had a philosophy that they ruled people by their iron fist. Therefore, when they send somebody to arrest, they didn't send one or two deputies like we do today to arrest somebody. They sent 200 or 300 soldiers. Therefore, they were overwhelmed by the force that was there to get them. Now, I said that to say this. Chances are, this centurion probably was in the garden. I don't know if he was or not, but he was definitely there that day at Calvary. Now, at Calvary, there was something happening that we all need to remember. We never need to forget Calvary. Calvary was the most important day in the history of this world. Some people say, well, the most important day was the day I was born or when I got married or when I did this. The most important day in the world was upon Calvary. And so there upon Calvary, we had all the forces coming together. We had the love of God being shown through Jesus, the Son of God, that came down to the earth to do one thing and one purpose. He came to die for the sins of the world. It also was a day in which we all were identified as sinners. If you've never seen yourself as a sinner, then you've never been saved. When you look at Calvary, you've got to say, Calvary was for me. I put Jesus there. My sins is the one hung upon the cross. It wasn't somebody else. He went there because of me. He went there because of you. We were all sinners. We have all sinned and come short of glory of God. Not only that, but also it was a day in which he would defeat Satan. All of hell came against Jesus. They wanted to keep him there. They didn't want him to ever resurrect. They wanted to destroy him. But what he did was he destroyed the works of the devil. Brother Junior was talking about this morning, that guy who stood up there and shot all those people. What in the world could get somebody to do such an act? He knew none of them. He looked down upon them and all he wanted to do was kill them. Why would somebody do something so wretched? But you know, ultimately, he's right. It was Satan behind it because he is a murderer, was a murderer from the beginning. Right. But also he moved upon the heart of the guy. And the guy allowed himself to be used of Satan. I mean, to go and premeditate all those murders and bring all those weapons. But you know, people think that the solution is to get rid of the guns, but they've tried that other places, other countries. But criminals still has guns. It's not the guns that's killing people, it's the heart that's killing people. The Bible says killings and murderers come from within, the heart. You can give me a gun, you don't have to worry. I could have 40 guns in my house, and you don't have to worry. I'm not going to be up there shooting down upon people in Las Vegas. It's not in my heart to do that. I wouldn't want to do that at all. Now, getting back to this, what you see is this day upon Calvary was one where all the forces of evil and all the forces of God came together. And Jesus was victorious. When he cried, whoever said, I believe Brother Jim said, it is finished. When he said it is finished, he had completed the work in which he came to do. And he said, here, he's a father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He completed his work. Now, when you look at this, you've got to remember, in that crowd was sinners, wicked men, evil men. There was also the soldiers, the Roman soldiers. And by the way, when you look, and let me say this, and a lot of people won't like it, but it's truth. When you study the Romans liked power. In the early church, the reason why the universal, what we call Catholic Church, was formed by Constantine, the reason why it was formed back in 313 A.D. was to control Christianity because it was getting too wild and growing too big and they couldn't control it. They first tried to stomp it out during the Church of Smyrna age and they couldn't stomp it out. So what they did was they combined it with the government where the government could try to force and could make all the rules and dictates of the church. They took away the Bible from the people. They began to make their own rules. They did it all for their own profit and their own gain. That's why the Bible says that the kings of the earth has made that great whore rich and made her full of gold because everything that they did and what they did was to get money from people and power into that organization. Now, and still today, that is their ultimate goal. Somebody said, oh, they do all this good. They do it for a purpose, to have control. And therefore, that's why they have the control they do. But let's get back to this. This centurion was there, and so here he was watching. You wonder what got into this centurion to make him say what he said. Now, in the book of Mark, he says, truly, this is a son of God. Here, the Bible says, he said that he was truly a righteous man. And so here, when we get into this, and the Bible says he did it to glorify God. So when you look, you kind of understand the thief turning to Jesus because he's fixing to die. And when he's fixing to die, as a thief upon the cross, he's fixing to die there, and he needs, and he recognizes the fact that he needs something from this man. He recognized that this was something and somebody different. His only hope before he closed his eyes in death would be to call upon the Lord, and he did. But this centurion had the power of the soldiers. He didn't have to, he wasn't facing death. He had control of what was going on that day. He was there to oversee the crucifixion of these three men. So what was it that drawed him to Jesus? First of all, think about this. It was a way in which Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in Isaiah that he was led as a lamb. Now, most of the time, what you would find is you would find people would go, and of course, this centurion had saw a lot of people, no doubt, go to the cross of Calvary, and they were doing like these two thieves at first. They were just cursing and reviling and saying all kinds of things and mean things and mean-spirited things, but not Jesus. Here he was. The centurion probably knew the history, and so he probably knew all the things about Jesus, that he went about doing good, healing the sick. And I mean, nobody could be around that could not hear and had not heard something about this man Jesus. And so there he'd done all this good, and yet this centurion had watched him as he was beaten, as he was flogged, as his beard was pulled, and all the things he went through. And here he was led under the weight of his cross to Calvary, and he was placed, and the Bible says he went as a lamb and spoke not a word. And so here he went, and I'm sure this centurion watched as they hung Jesus upon the cross and thought, there's something different.
Now, instead of this man knowing what he'd done and knowing all the things they'd done, that he'd been doing good, and seeing all the other ones crucified and hearing all the cursing, but this man, when he hung up there, he looked out over the crowd that hung him there. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he watched, and he looked as he had compassion upon his mother and told John to take his mother. And there as he went, and he went through those things, and he saw when the thief, who were just earlier reviling him and saying all kinds of wicked things to him, all of a sudden he said, "Lord, remember me." He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." In other words, he saw the compassion. He saw the composure in which Jesus faced the cross of Calvary. The Bible tells us that no man put him there. He chose to come. He died there for you and I. The events that had taken place. This centurion had watched. If he was in the garden, he saw when he spoke, and all of them fell backwards, including himself. He saw as he reached down, picked up Malchus's ear, and stuck it back on. But even if he wasn't in the garden, all of a sudden the sun turned dark. All of a sudden the sky and all the things that began, the earthquakes, and all the things happened while he hung upon the cross of Calvary. And all the events made him think. Then he also recognized the fact that this man didn't deserve, knowing his history, seeing him hang up there, knowing he didn't deserve to be there. Also, there was a sign over his head, "King of the Jews." It was written in three languages where everybody could read it. The Jews wanted it taken down, but Pilate refused to take it down. But that also made him realize that he was the Christ, and the thieves that was saying things to him was mocking him, saying, "If you're really the Christ, the Messiah, you're the one that's going to come, save us." But yet what we find is that Jesus, as he hung there, that sign may have made the centurion think, "Who is this guy? Is he really the Christ?" Not only that, but also when you look and you see the compassion as he had and as he hung and the reason why he was there, all these things went into the centurion's mind. And the Bible says here, if you look back in your Bibles, the Bible says in verse 47, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." You know, I don't know what it got into the mind of the centurion, but I know this, that when he looked upon the cross of Calvary, he saw something that drew him to it. And he recognized that this was truly the Son of God hanging there. He recognized that he did not deserve to be there, and he recognized that other people did, but he recognized this man had done nothing to deserve that. Now let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been to Calvary? Have you ever really realized who it was upon that cross of Calvary? You know, the thing about Calvary is this. Every single one of us has to come to Calvary the same way. We have to see Jesus the same way. We have to see him as our only hope. We have to see him as a Son of God. We have to see him as a one that was righteous, that had no sin, that come to die in our place for our sin. And when we see him, the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Can I ask you a question this morning? You know, Ruby came the other night. She said, "I need to be saved." And I talked to her a few moments down here, and she said, "I know that Jesus died for my sins, the Son of God. And I know that I'm a sinner and need to be saved." Folks, that's what we have to see. We have to. If there's any place in the world you better have your eyes, it better be Calvary. Can I ask you this? And I want to have you to do something for me, if you would. Some folks that we know that comes down there, one of the ladies was with Chris this week, and she told her this. She said, I need to be, she said, I want to be saved. She said, I was baptized as a little girl, but she said, I feel I need something. And so Chris tried to share with her what it took to be saved. And we told her that we would pray for her and that God would use that to save her soul. And I'd like for you all to keep praying about that. But what she needs to understand is it's not going through baptism and the rituals. It's seeing Jesus for who he is. And something happened that day when that centurion, that Roman soldier, when he saw all the events that had taken place at Calvary, all he could do is say, truly, this was the Son of God. Have you ever seen Jesus as the Son of God? Have you ever realized that he hung there because of you? Have you ever come to the place where you said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I deserve everything I'm getting, as that thief said. I deserve it all. But because of you, would you save my soul and come, because you took my place that day upon Calvary? And can I tell you something? If you ever get your eyes upon Calvary and you ever get your eyes upon the Lord and you ever receive Jesus, Calvary is the only place you ever have to look for. You don't have to worry about North Korea. You don't have to worry about Iran. You don't have to worry about Las Vegas. If you've got Calvary, everything else will fall in place. Can I ask you this morning, do you have Calvary? Have you ever been to Calvary? You've got to come the same way. Humble yourself, looking to him to save you, calling upon the Lord. Have you ever come tonight? You say, well, preacher, I have a long life. I'm just a young person. Are you sure about that? What if you don't? What if death finds you? What if this is your last day? Down there where we were at, some lady crossed the road in front of a car and just got killed. I'm sure the last thing she thought when she got up that morning, she was enjoying the festivities. The last thing she thought is she'd be standing facing God. And her eternal soul would be in balance with the decisions that she'd made already. My friend, when death finds you, there's no chance of changing. You better come to Calvary while you can. Have you ever been to Calvary? Maybe this morning you feel the Spirit of God drawing you to come. You need to step out and be saved. Would you come? He said, preacher, I don't know what to do. Jesus said this, just come to me. Would you come? Believing upon him of who he was. And when that centurion looked, he said, truly this is the Son of God. He knew who he was. Would you come trusting in him? That's why the Bible calls us believers, because we believe in Jesus, the Son of God. Would you step out and come? Maybe you're here and you say, preacher, I've been saved. Well, this message is for you, because you need to live the rest of your days thankful. Every day you get up, you need to look at Calvary. Brother Junior was talking about he's sure glad that he was in the house of God Sunday, instead of there being mowed down by those machine guns. You know what brought you to the house of God? Calvary. Calvary needs to guide our lives. Would you come this morning as we get a song, Brother Porter?